as we connect our hearts with you, Lord God. Lord God, we thank you. We thank you that we have that vantage point as well, Lord God. Lord, that we can know, Lord God, that we can see as you see, Lord God. Lord, that we can receive revelation from you today, Lord God. And Lord, we, each one of us, open our hearts today, Lord God, that you might minister within us. We thank you, Lord, that as your Holy Spirit comes and ministers amongst us today, Lord God, that our hearts are submitted, Lord God, to you. Lord God, just prepared now by worship, Lord. Lord, you come and you inhabit the praises of your people. So, Lord, we've praised today, Lord God. We thank you for your habitation in us today, Lord God. And Lord, we thank you for all that you're going to do. We thank you, Lord God, for all that will be revealed today, Lord God. We thank you for that revelation, Father. We thank you, Father God, that it's personal to us. We thank you, Lord. Give you thanks and praise for what you're about to do, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Amen. And I just particularly stirred with regard to guidance this morning, and I just know by the Spirit of God today that there's some folk with us, or someone here today is really particularly feeling like they now need to know some things, that it's that time of the year that they need to know some things with regard to next year. You know, what's going to happen next year. And what the Lord showed me was like a windscreen that was actually dirty, but you didn't really know it because you hadn't sort of washed it for so long and you thought it was fairly clean, but it was like someone came along and cleaned it. Someone came along and really cleaned it and gave you a clarity of vision. And it's like that today. The Lord wants to actually drop in some clarity today. And I really felt that it was actually not just about the next week or two, it's actually about next year, that the Lord wants to really speak to you and actually show you some things. As we've just prayed, he knows the end from the beginning. And that vantage point that we can all have is for all of us to know, so that we might see and know. So I just encourage you, open your heart today, open, just be ready to receive. I'm just going to release that today in Jesus' name. Father, we just release fresh vision today, Lord God. It's a time of the year, Father, when we're looking to next year, Father. And we just release fresh vision among your people today, Lord God. Lord, that we would receive your plans, Lord God, your purposes, Father. Lord, that we would receive fresh blueprints today, Lord God. Lord God, of what you want to do. Lord, not just in the church, Lord God, but in our own lives and our own families, Father God. Lord, we just receive today, Lord God, fresh insight. Lord God, even glimpses of next year, Lord God, that we've not seen before, Father. But Lord God, we just release fresh vision again today in the mighty name of Jesus, and just ask Holy Spirit that you would work that within hearts and lives today. Thank you, Lord God. Fresh vision, Lord, like a clean windscreen that we can see where we're going, Lord, in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Well, you know, you can stay in that place of just receiving. Why don't we give the team a good hand clap this morning as they come on down and really ministered strongly to us this morning, didn't they? So we're blessed to have such a team getting up. Amen. Just looking to see the Lord might have more for us this morning, and might be just the word, but we've been into a series on being battle ready. And as a church, we need to know that we haven't come into a kingdom that's at peace. We've come into a kingdom that's actually got some battle going on. There's some warfare going on. And we need to be a people that are ready for the battle. And, you know, this week we are, again, looking at that armour of God. We started just touching in on it over the last a couple of weeks there. But the Apostle Paul speaks of having on the whole armour of God. Meaning, don't leave any of it off. Have it all on if we're going to do battle. And we've seen that Paul continues to say that armor is so we can do battle in prayer. And we saw that in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18. So important that we see what Paul was saying when he talked about the context of having, you know, this armor on, that we'd be ready for battle, was so that we could pray, so that we could be a people that are releasing our faith, actually speaking the word, actually saying and praying God's will, because, you know, it's about God's will in heaven being done on earth is what the battle is all about, isn't it? You know, we're a people that need to say what the word says. And, you know, we love people, but we still need to say what the word says. And that's so important, we get that part right. We still love people. As we say in this church, we love people where they are. Amen? And let the love of God reach people where they are. And you know, when the love of God reaches us, it doesn't mean that he approves of everything that we're doing either. Isn't that right? It doesn't. It means that God loves us despite our sin. But we still need to be able to speak the word and say, sin is sin. Amen? Amen. So we'll just read again as we start out this morning in this series again. Ephesians 6 verse 13 through to 17, and we've been seeing this. Therefore take up the whole armour of God, it says, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand. You've got to take your stand. And stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. And I like that. We've been looking at the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and we're just sort of moving on a little bit now. But this verse, and if we just take a look at it, it should stand out, where Paul raises one verse within this section and he raises it up above all the other pieces of armour. All the other pieces of armour, he raises this up. He's saying that, you know, you can have all the other parts of the armour on, but this piece is above them all. And if you're reading it, it says there in verse 16, above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the enemy. You know, it's taking the shield of faith and having up the shield of faith and knowing what that means. What is a fiery dart from the enemy? We've got to ask that question too, don't we, and actually know what the answer is. If we're to go on to know what the enemy is up to, we know that at any time you're receiving fire from the enemy, you're being fired on with his key weapon, which is, any takers? Lies. That's exactly right. Deception, deceptive practices, lies. His primary weapon is deception. And he is a deceiver. Jesus said that he was a liar from the beginning. Going right back, he was always a liar. When he came into the Garden of Eden, he came with a lie, didn't he? Has God said? Got them questioning. He came to rob man of his rightful God-given position. And of course, Adam and Eve gave in to the temptation and of course fell from their place that God had intended for them. When he came and tempted Jesus in the wilderness, we see he came with that same way. He came questioning what the word of God had said. And of course, we say that the best defense against a lie is what? The truth. We speak the truth. We say what the word says. I'm sort of leading in a little bit there to what Pastor Martha has done. She's just spoken the truth. And of course, she's taken on some fire because of it. Amen. We have to declare and decree the truth. Amen. And when he came and tempted Jesus in the wilderness, he came that same way. And we need to recognise. You know, I'm really encouraged also, and I might say this, I'm really encouraged by the people, those in the church who have started doing that via the New Believers course, that New Horizons course. Really encourage you to be doing that, getting that good foundation of the Word down into your life, enrolling in New Horizons, enrolling in the eCampus as well. It's great to see people wanting to get that Word of God established in their lives as a foundation for what God has for them. So I really appreciate that. That's that shield of faith being taken up and of course held up. I mean, if you bump into a believer and you notice that they have their shield up, what would that really look like? You know, it talks about take up the shield of faith, which is able to quench all the fiery darts of the enemy. If you bump into a believer and they've got their shield up, what does it look like? Good question, isn't it? Because, you know, we're being told to do it in the Word, you know, in Ephesians. Someone might think, well, faith is of the heart, so you cannot really tell what it looks like. I don't believe that, you know. I believe that a little bit, and certainly faith is of the heart, but it is something that you can see. You can see when someone's got up the shield of faith and it's working in their life. You can see it really clearly. faith can be seen and heard is really the point. Faith can be seen and heard. Number one, the shield of faith looks like confidence. That's right. The shield of faith looks like confidence. 1 John 5, verse 14, it says, "Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we asked of him." Good word. I like that scripture. I've always liked that scripture, 1 John 5 and verse 14 to 15. Faith is defined as a confident expectation. Faith is defined that way. You know, about his word being his will and knowing that he hears us. I tell you, that's a confidence that we should have. In Jeremiah chapter 1, we're told that God watches over his word to perform it. Wow. What a great scripture to think about. God watches over his word to perform it. So when you get the word of God into your mouth and into your heart and you start speaking it from that place of confidence, God's watching over his word to perform it, to bring it about, to bring it into actuality. Amen. And to see fruit from it. Look at verse 15 again. It says, "And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him." Get this. God is not moved by our need. God is moved by our faith. And sometimes we think it's our need. If it's we're desperate enough or we're stuck enough or we're in this, you know, emotional condition enough, God will look down from heaven and have mercy on us. How many of you know what I'm thinking about, you know, talking about there? And that's a sort of like a framework that we start to, you know, to work with God about. You know, if I can get upset enough about this. But God's not moved by that. He's moved by faith. The moment we start to realize that, there's a change, there's a shift in the way we pray, the way that we approach difficulties and circumstances and things that are out of our control. There's a change and a shift, and it's a biblical one. Very important, get a hold of that. Hebrews 11, verse 6, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is," and two, second thing you need to believe as well, "that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." Wow. Must believe that he is. Must believe that he is what? That he is God, that he is divine, that he is all-powerful. Amen. We must believe that when we come. And that he's a rewarder. Hallelujah. So simple. Keep seeking him confidently. You know, knowing that, you know, he watches over his word to perform it. Keep seeking him with his word and with his promises, not just with your need. You might have a big need, and it might be very, very fair of you to think that God would move based on your need. But I tell you, if you just make a little shift and actually put the word out there and speak and say and pray the word and get the promises of God out there and stand on that, God moves. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 6, verse 45, it says, "A good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart." Very so important, because a shield of faith has a sound. The shield of faith has a sound as well. It can be heard. Faith can be heard and should be heard. Hallelujah. "A good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart, and an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. What you say flows from what is in your heart." So I think the old King James says is that from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So we can hear what you're believing based on what you're saying, what your conversation is about. But, you know, so often I share that one of the first key lessons that I got as I got around a church that believed the word of God, that, you know, believed that you could speak the word of God, that you could stand on the promises of God and see them come into fruition. When I got around that kind of church, one of the first key lessons I got a hold of, this is back in the 80s, when I first came around that teaching of faith that was so strong, was that the biggest problem I had was right under my nose. And it was right there, right under my nose. And it was my mouth. It's true. My problem was actually what was coming out of my mouth and what I was saying what I was saying was a result of what I was actually believing in my heart. I'd been conditioned to believe things will never work out. That's not going to work out. There was a negativity there that had to be shifted. And I really found that God was really in the business of wanting to shift that negativity out of my life and bring, not just to bring me, make me positive, but actually align me to his word. Bring me to that place where I was actually aligning my life up with what he was saying, what he was promising for my life. And that made such a difference. It was my mouth, it was my confession that was the problem, the things that I was saying. I was saying basically what I was feeling. So if I was emotional, I'd just say that. And there's nothing like a good friend who will listen. You know, we all have those people that will listen. You know those people that you want to be real with? You know what I'm talking about? Something that you can just be real with and just say it as it is. Well, there's a certain comfort in having someone who you can just, you know, pour your problem out to. It's true, isn't it? You know, you think about it. You know, someone who just, you know, you wouldn't normally speak about those things, but you find that friend and you can just say that and just say what you want to say and just really let it all out. That friend, as I say, that you can be real with. Well, if you learn anything from Maxwell Smart, is this, that there is no cone of silence. Those words that you speak go out and actually are creative. Our words are heard in the spirit realm. So there's no cone of silence. You can't sit with that friend and actually just pour it all out and just go, look, I just want to be real. Now, there is a balance to that. And it's this, is that if you've got a godly friend in your life, a godly counsellor that you can go to and say, look, this is what I'm feeling. Help me. This is what I'm going through. Can you offer me some advice? That's okay to do that. I'm not saying that that's all wrong and that you need a code of silence to do it. I'm just saying this is that don't be the person that just goes around speaking the problem everywhere you go and thinking that that's the thing that's actually going to get you out of it. No, you have to at some point start to speak the answer and find those people that will encourage you to speak the answer and challenge you and hold you accountable to be speaking the answer. Okay, you've got a problem, great. But let's now start speaking the answer. In other words, zip it up. If all you do is blurt out the problem, stop it. And start speaking what God's word says. Align your life with his. And you say, oh, I don't know about that. Well, the Bible says very clearly, death and life are in the what? Power of the tongue. And those who love it will eat its fruit. And now that second part always fascinated me because I thought, well, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And those who love it will eat its fruit. In other words, you'll eat the fruit of it whether you're speaking death or you're speaking life. You can love the power of the tongue either way. And if you're using it a lot, you can and speaking those things that are against God's word, you'll find yourself walking in death-like circumstances. Things are not working out. Things are not good. Things are never turning around for you. And it's because you keep speaking it out over your life and saying it. The first place you need to get a control of in your Christian life is your mouth and what you say, and then realizing that that's actually creating more problems for you, is then you come back and start getting the word in, start aligning your life with what God's word says. And of course we watch what the enemy does. The enemy's got nothing to work with anymore. Enemy's got nothing that he can keep working with in your life because you're no longer saying it, you're no longer agreeing with him. And of course, we bring the transforming power of God's word into a situation when we say it, when we pray it, when we decree it and we declare it. And understand that the lifestyle of faith starts with taking charge of our believing and our speaking. In the book of Romans, our Christian life starts with what? Believing in the heart, confessing with the mouth. There's our entrance into the new life. It starts with believing in the heart, confessing with the mouth. It should be no surprise to us that it continues. The goodness of God in our life continues as we continue to believe in our heart and confess with our mouth. Say what God says. and make it lifestyle. You know, initially it sort of sounds, you know, a little bit like, well, you know, is that what the Christian, you know, I thought Christian life was about just doing good. No, it's about God's heaven on earth being done, God's will on earth, in heaven being done on earth. And the way that we get to be a part of that is by actually taking his word and speaking it out. There's life in the word, amen? Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, it says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." Now that's that process of renewing your mind to what the Word of God says, and it takes time. It takes enrolling in a New Horizons course and actually getting that Word and studying that Word and reading that Word and getting a hold of that principle and truth and actually going, oh, that's actually that really makes sense. And you just keep on. It's just here a bit, there a bit, one line upon another, and the Lord starts to renew your thinking. You start to think in line with His Word. Look what it says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Amen. Jesus wanted us to learn to live this way. No question about it. Jesus wanted us to learn to live this way. If he didn't, he would never have taught his disciples to speak to a mountain. And he did. He taught them to speak to a mountain. As you know, there in Mark 11, the disciples were, you know, on a journey there, and of course it came past the fig tree. Jesus walked up to the fig tree expecting to find some fruit on it. There was no fruit on it, so he cursed it. And of course, the next day the disciples said, "Wow, look at that. That fig tree's already started to die." And they're going, "Wow, look at that. Jesus just, oh, he didn't put Roundup on it or anything. He just spoke to it. And it was already starting to wither up and die." And of course, as we know from Mark 11, Jesus responded, and we should pay attention to what he said because it aligns with what we're saying today. Amen. So Jesus answered and said to them, "Have faith in God." One translation says this, "Have the faith of God." Not faith in God, but have the faith of God. What's that? Well, when God wants to build something, he just speaks it. He actually, you know, uses his faith and speaks. What did he say in creation? "Let there be light." And there was light. You know, we see the whole creation coming about because God spoke his word. And to a measure, we've been given that same authority. Jesus answered and said to them, "Have faith in God. For assuredly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea." Now, obviously, he was pointing at a mountain. "And does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says." Now, this is talking about the saying. Let's now consider the praying. It's on the same truth. It's on the same principle. "Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them." Great truth, great promise from God. What does it depend on? It depends on us being confident that God watches over his word to perform it. So we're believing that when we pray, whatever things we ask when we pray, it does say whatever, so that's everything, right? Everything's under this. Whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. So at what point do you actually believe that you've received the answer to your prayer? At what point? Sorry? Well, when you start living like it, yeah. But if we look at that context again, look what he says. This is, "Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them." So I'll just, close, but when you pray a prayer, at what point do you believe that you've received it?
When you ask.
That's right, no. That's right. When you ask, when you actually ask, that's the point that you believe you receive it. So what do you do between the time when you ask and ask, you know, whatever it be, "Lord, I want, you know, I'm believing you for a new job." Right? You pray that prayer and you say, "Thank you, Lord, I receive my new job. I'm getting my new job." Okay. So when do you release your faith with belief? When you've prayed it. And what do you do between when you've prayed and someone rings you up and says, we'd like you to come in for an interview? What do you do? Thank him. Keep thanking him was what John said. That's exactly right. You keep thanking him. And why do you say thank you? Yeah, so if I give you my little thing there, Rach just said thank you. She believed it, she received it. Now, if I was to say to you, Rach, I'm going to give this to you, all right, a little bit later, what do you say? There you go. You see, I haven't given it to you yet, but you've believed you've received it. So you say thank you. We're the same, okay? And it's so important to get this part right, because when we pray, we must believe that we've received it. And when we shift to that level of prayer and believing to receive, thanksgiving is a part of it. And this is the truth that we always say and teach here as well, is that thanksgiving is the highest expression of your faith. Amen. It's the highest expression of your faith. And if you'll remember that from any of what we've taught today, it'll do you well. Because when we believe we've received, we should give him thanks. So our prayer so often is not that we're continuing to pray the same thing. So we pray, Lord, I'm believing for that new job. I'm believing for that new job. Thank you, Lord, I'm believing for that new job. It's not what you're the thing to be praying. What you should be praying is, Lord, I thank you for that new job. After you've prayed, after you've believed that you received, you begin to thank him. Thank you, Lord, I received my new job. Thank you, Lord, I'm receiving my new job. Thank you, Lord. And, you know, it might be the next day. Oh, thank you, Lord, I just received my new job. Now, whatever your need is, whatever your circumstance, maybe your budget is not being met by your current income. Lord, I thank you for increase in my life. Thank you, Lord, I'm a giver. And you start speaking the word and start, you know, acting on that word. You know, I'm a giver and I give, Lord, and so therefore I believe I receive. And therefore I thank you, Lord, for the increase in my life. I thank you, Lord, for my budget being met. And you can just keep thanking the Lord like that, just thanking him for what his word says over your life. For some of you, this is sort of maybe the basics. Let me just explain that as we get a hold of a spirit of faith, as we get a hold of that truth that says, I need to believe and I need to speak and I need to align my words to the word of God in order to see the fruit from the word of God in my life. As we start to live that way, I tell you, there's a shift and a change that, you know, you thought that maybe was never possible. It's powerful when we start to walk in it. And I just encourage you, as I say, when I first came to Christ, a young believer, I knew that I was saved. I knew that I'd come into a relationship with God, etc., etc. But I hadn't been taught how to pray properly. Hadn't been taught how to use my faith properly. And once I got a hold of that, revolution, transformation started to occur. And I started to see fruit from it. I started to see favour. I started to see the Lord bringing circumstances into my life because I started to believe him and speak the word and say only. But first key for me was to just zip it up. I really had to zip it up. And even because it takes a while for you to change the way that you were thinking, the way that you were believing, it takes a while for that to occur. And in that time, you just need to stop talking, stop saying it. And there's such a high value in that. I encourage you. That's the spirit of faith, and we need to get that spirit of faith. And you know, if we look for another example, I encourage you to read. I think it's Numbers 13, Caleb and Joshua. Caleb and Joshua are such a perfect example of guys who were willing to say what God was saying when everybody was not saying what God was saying. That was just such an excellent example. And later on, God commended them, saying they had a different spirit in them. A different spirit. And of course, that spirit was a spirit of faith. A spirit of faith just merely believes what God has says and thanks him for the fulfillment of it in their life. Amen? Praise the Lord. Well, we're just going to stand, and I tell you, I really feel that there's a spirit of faith to receive today. For some, there's a revelation, a new revelation today for you to actually receive, not in your mind, but actually in your spirit. And I just really want to be a part of, maybe as the worship team comes, Hallelujah. That we would just pray for just a fresh release of faith into our lives today. We've heard the word. We can act on the word as well. Amen. And see a fresh confidence come. So, Heavenly Father, we do. We thank you for today, Lord God. And we pray for all those that are among us, Lord. We pray particularly for anyone that would be sitting here today, Lord God, thinking that they don't even know you real close, Lord. They don't really have a meaningful relationship with you, Lord. And I would just pray, Lord God, that there just be a fresh revelation today, Lord God, of the possibility of knowing you and having personal relationship with you today, Lord. So we pray today, Lord. We pray, Lord God, for those hearts that are just open and ready to receive from you today, Lord. And Lord, we just pray, Lord God, that there just be an open heart, Father, for you to come in and make yourself known into their lives, Father, in Jesus' name, in the mighty name of Jesus. And I just want to encourage anyone that's here today that maybe is that just exactly that way. You know that you don't have a personal relationship with the Lord, but you'd like to. I just want to encourage you that there's an opportunity to just pray a simple prayer. We call it the prayer of acceptance and prayer of salvation in some places. But I encourage you to come on down the front after the service and love to pray that prayer with you and of course introduce you to Jesus as Lord and Saviour. And it's a powerful prayer and it will change your life forever. But otherwise, as we sing this song, we're just going to ask that the Holy Spirit just come afresh with a new sense of the spirit of faith and what it is. So, Father, we again thank you, Lord, for your word today. Well, Lord, we thank you, Lord, it's a light unto our feet, Father God, a lamp unto our feet and a guide unto our path, Lord. Lord, that we can take your word, Lord God, and Lord, even place it in our hearts. Lord, I pray that you would set a watch over our lips, Lord, that we would speak those things that are acceptable in your sight, Lord. Lord, that we would be a people, Father God, that, Lord, know how to meditate in your word. And Lord God, speak your word as well. And Father, pray like we believe that we've received and give you thanks, Lord. And we know it's just a matter of time before we see the fulfillment, Father. Lord, we thank you for the truths in your word today, Lord God, that help us to go to another level in you, another degree of maturity in you, Lord God, that we would see the fruit, Father, from your word in our lives. We ask today in the precious name, Father. And I pray, Lord God, that it would just be a release of the spirit of faith, Lord God, that would just stir in people's hearts today, Lord God, helping us go to that new level, that new place in you. We ask your blessing today in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said amen. Man, why don't we just go out with a song of worship? Amen.